Today's gospel reading is from the book of John, first chapter, verses 1 through 14. Please rise as you are able. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I'm especially grateful today for the ministry of our youth orchestra. There's more to come from them later in the service. Because of their ministry with us today, the choir is in a little different location. So if you're a little close, and I was just going to say, Jim informed me I get to preach to the choir today. So. After I got the great news that I would be appointed here as your lead pastor, I met with Pastor Rod because I needed to figure out at what point in the journey on this Acela train of ministry am I jumping on it? You know, what are the things I need to know? And one of the things he said to me is he said, well, I had planned to do a sermon series because I didn't know you were coming, but don't worry, I'm sure you want to do your own thing. And I really took that as a challenge as a preacher. I said, no, Rod, you know, I got you. If it's in the Bible, I can preach on it. What's the series? And he said, well, the series is about embodiment. I know what embodiment means. I didn't have to look it up, but I sort of thought, what in the world? And then I got a little concerned, right? Because embodiment, our bodies and stuff. And I was concerned because I started to have flashbacks to this time when I was with Glenmar before, when I was on staff, and Pastor Andy wanted to do a sermon series on the seven deadly sins. And I was all like, good for you, ordained guy. Like, that sounds hard and good for you, and I'm going to be there every week, and I'm going to be listening and taking good notes. And then he said, well, Mandy, I want you to do one of those weeks in the sermon series. And, like, that's a big honor to be asked to be a part of someone else's sermon series. So I was all like, I got you, Andy. I'm here for you. And I said, here's the thing, though, Pastor. Just please, I'll do any week you want, but not the one that rhymes with crust, okay? I'll do any of them. And he said, don't worry, I will take that one. And I was like, good, appropriate, good. And he said that I could do one of the other weeks, and then he suggested that I take gluttony. And between me and you, don't tell him, I was a little hurt. Feelings were a little hurt. So then the next thing is he goes on a cruise and he comes back and he's got a little twinkle in his eye that makes me again a little worried. And he says, they eat a lot on cruises. I think I want to preach on gluttony and you can take the other one. I thought, Glenmar, if I could get through that sermon, I could get through anything. And so when Rod said embodiment, I was kind of worried that my second sermon at Glenmar that you would ever hear me preach would be like something like that. But when I went to God, when I went to God in prayer, when I opened the scriptures, I realized that embodiment is not like that at all. What I want to do with it is very different. And this week, I want to start by talking about what it means for us that we're made in God's image. Because that's really the start of how we got bodies in the first place. And what does it mean that God would take on flesh in Jesus Christ and dwell among us? That is a very strange way to save the world. That God would take on flesh and dwell among us. God had many other options for how God could love, save, heal, and free us. Now, if you receive my weekly Pastor's Ponderings email, you know that there I talked about my love for doing preschool chapel. And in my prior appointments, that's been part of my job. And here, it is our pleasure as pastors to get to do that for the ELC, too. There's a pastoral rotation. And one of their favorite lessons we used to do every year was the first one, and it was about creation. And preschoolers love to tell you that God made everything and then tell you everything God had made. And so we start by looking out the window and we say, do you see anything God has made? And then we look around the room and then we might run through the colors and say, like, what did God make that's orange? And then you watch when somebody thinks of pumpkin, man, the house goes down, you know. But the best thing, the best part of the lesson for them is when you get to the part that you tell them that God made them. God made their hair, God made their elbows, God made their knees, God made their skin in all its beautiful colors. God is creator of all. And we do an exercise with the preschoolers that's like this. I say, point to yourself and say, God made me. Now point to your neighbor and say, God made you. And then together we say, and it was very good. Preschoolers love me. So church, if I'm with you and we want to start somewhere, when we talk about God as creator, we go to Genesis 1, don't we? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This account of creation is cosmic, big, grand in scope. And each day, as you well know, God speaks another layer of creation into existence. And each day, God looks back, you know, when it comes to be 5 o'clock and God punches out for the day, God looks back at everything God has made that day and he says, that's good. That's good. And on the sixth day, God makes humankind in God's image. And once that is done, God looks back at all God has made and pronounces that is very good. Even in this cosmic, big account of creation, humans are the only ones who are made in God's image. And humans are portrayed as kind of the crescendo of the whole symphony of creation, the cherry on top of the sundae, if you will. It is an amazing thing. And in Genesis 2, we have a more intimate account, don't we? There, God forms the human creature out of the dust of the earth and breathes life into it. I picture it like divine CPR. God kneeling in the clay, getting his hands dirty, shaping the human creature and breathing life into it. So from the beginning, we have a God who made us all in God's image to be bearers of God's life-giving spirit. A God who made us with tenderness and care. I picture it like looking at a newborn baby's little foot and little hands. So if we're to think about what it's like to be spiritual people with bodies, we should probably start with our bodies are made with love by a God who's crazy about us. From the beginning, we are loved, and we're called into relationship with God and with each other. Quickly, though, there became a problem with this plan. This God who made us is notoriously hard to get to know. Just consider how God is portrayed in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He's like a wind moving over water. He's a still small voice. He's in the burning bush. He's in the pillar of cloud, a vision in a dream. God is present in three strangers under some oak trees. And God is present on Pentecost when people speak languages of all sorts. This is a hard God to get to know, to be in relationship with. You can't see God with your eyes or hear him audibly with your ears or touch him with your hands. There's a gap between God as creator and us as created ones, made in God's image but still created. We couldn't get it right when we thought about who God really is and what God really wants. We couldn't really bridge the gap. We couldn't get to know this God. Because we were made with free will and we had the ability to choose, we quickly did not always choose to please God. So to bridge this gap, God did something amazing. God sent Jesus. In John 1, which is sort of a New Testament creation story, we read that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And John is saying that the God who created was not separate from the Christ. That Jesus was present. The Christ was present as part of creation. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is part of God. And in Jesus, God reached out to love, save, heal, and free. I think of it like this. I have a good friend whose little girl would often have bad dreams. And so when she would have bad dreams, she would cry and call out for mommy. I still do it. And so my friend would go to her and comfort her. And then after this happened a few times, she said, you know, Jane, you can pray to God when this happens. And God will comfort you. If you're afraid, you can pray. And she said, I know I can pray. I know God listens to prayer. But sometimes you need somebody with skin on. Sometimes you need somebody with skin on, right? And so in Jesus, we have God with skin on. As John puts it just a little later in this first chapter, no one has ever seen God, but it is the Son who is close to the Father's heart who has made God known. In John 3:16, that verse so many of us know, it does not say, "For God so loved the world that God sent a beam of light." It doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that he sent the biggest missile ever made." It doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that he sent an Evite or an Instagram or an edible arrangement." God so loved the world, God went one better. God sent the Son. God sent God's self. And God could have chosen to come to us any way that God imagined. Could have come to us as an army or the Justice League. I would have preferred that myself. Or like a unicorn, because who doesn't love a unicorn? Instead, God came to us as a baby. And not just any baby. The baby of an unwed teenage mother from a nowhere part of town. The kind of place that was so off the grid that they said, "Can anything good come from there?" Born in a stable, laid in a feed trough. That is how God came to us. So vulnerable. There's nothing more vulnerable than a newborn baby. They can do nothing. They are so fragile. That is why it is so scary when you become a parent. They're very easy to break, those little newborn babies. That's not the way I would have chosen. So risky, so vulnerable, but it is the way God chose. And that means some pretty incredible things for us. It means that we have a God who knows what it is to be vulnerable. We have a God who knows what it is to be hungry and thirsty and cold and hot. We have a God who knows what it is to be tempted or to grieve. The other verse everybody knows is the shortest one in the Bible, Jesus wept. If you ever get called upon for a quick Bible verse, that's the one to choose. But do you know why Jesus wept? Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. When we grieve, we have a God that knows exactly what we're going through. We even have a God who knows what it is to suffer and even die. And on the cross, when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We realize that we have a God who knows what it is to feel forsaken by God. So whatever it is that you are dealing with, whatever brokenness, whatever scary place God is calling you to stand in or walk through, because the Word became flesh, we can say that Jesus has been there before us, preparing a table even in the presence of enemies. Jesus came to love us and save us and heal us and free us, even in our vulnerability, and I would say especially in our vulnerability. God taking on flesh and dwelling among us bridged the gap that we could not bridge on our own and gave us a real understanding of who God is and who we are called to be. Now, if you've ever crossed the street with a child, sometimes they only think they're crossing a street, but there hadn't been a car there since Jesus was a little boy. So you can give them that feeling of total autonomy, and you can say, go on ahead and watch them run. Other times, though, there's a car or two, and you want to be safe, so you reach out and you interlock fingers the child. But it's not a big deal. You might be swinging your arms as you're crossing the street that has one or two cars on it. But sometimes the road is so big and scary that you grab your child by the arm so they can't let go, so that you can keep them safe. And sometimes the road is so wide and big and scary that you grab the whole child by the torso and you football carry them. Here's a bonus. If you're ever guarding somebody in basketball, don't watch their arms. You can move those around. Don't watch their legs. You can move that. You can't move the torso very much, so stare right at the middle. In Jesus, God bridges the gap between God and humanity in the deepest, closest way possible. Next week, in a sermon called Flesh and Spirit, we'll talk about the ways that God bridges the gap when we make bad choices. But for today, I just want us to concentrate on the ways that Jesus taking on flesh helps us to come to know ourselves as God's beloved children. Thomas Merton writes of a time that all of a sudden he saw everybody around him as God sees us for an instant. And he describes it this way. Now, it talks about being in a particular place and time. So just like last week, you know, like it really happened and here was the time. He was in Louisville at the corner of 4th and Walnut in the center of the shopping district. Okay, we got it? He writes, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people. That they were mine and I theirs. That we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, that sense of liberation from the illusion of difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of a race in which God became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me now that I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There's no way of telling people that they're all walking around shining like the sun. For an instant, he got a glimpse of the way God sees all of us. It's hard to see ourselves that way, as God sees us, chosen, beloved, precious, bought with a price, even beautiful. This video shows some of what we're up against. Now, this is an ad for a beauty product, obviously, and it's directed to the ladies. But the makers of this commercial know something about human nature, don't they? We all sort of look at ourselves in this way that we forget that we're made in the image of God. We forget that God calls of all of us beautiful and chosen and precious. And the church has something to say to these folks. As Christians, we see in each face the image of God. And we know that God calls us beautiful in a way that is not superficial at all, but is in our essence, that comes from within. So today, church, let me tell you, Scripture says you are beloved. You are precious in God's sight. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, made in God's image, made for relationship with God and with each other. And God loves you so much that God refused to stay far away from you and sent Jesus, the Word made flesh, who loves you and calls you by name. Okay, church, let's show the preschoolers how it's done. Repeat after me. Point to yourself and say, God made me.
God made me.
Point to your neighbor and say, God made you.
God made you.
And it was very
good.
Amen.